There is a reprieve, for now at least, from a feared catastrophic military onslaught against the 3 million people in Syria's Idlib province. Russia and Turkey came up with a de-escalation agreement this week, though experts are pessimistic that it will work. And if it doesn't, the inevitable all-out attack by the Assad regime is expected to include the use of chemical weapons again. It'd be confirmation that US military retaliation for past chemical attacks has failed as a deterrent and could spur the US to go for higher profile targets right up to Syria's command structure. Dr. Christopher Bolan is Professor of National Security Affairs at the US Army War College. I asked him first what's known about this de-escalation agreement.
We don't know a whole lot, so we really don't know where the extremist forces are going to go, if they're going to go. There have been some interviews with Syrian opposition force commanders who have said until they know the details, they don't know how they're going to react. They don't know what they're going to do. We know from interviews with Russian MOD officials that we think there's maybe a phase two or phase three to this de-escalation agreement or creation of a buffer zone in the Idlib province. We think maybe by the middle of November that all the rebel and extremist groups that are remaining in the Idlib province as a whole are supposed to surrender whatever heavy weapons they have with the aim of restoring Syrian government control to the entire province by the end of the year. And there's absolutely no indication that the Syrian population that remains in Idlib, that's primarily Sunni population, is really, you know, willing to agree to that. So I think, like many things in international affairs, there are actually more questions raised than there are answers.
What do you think then will happen in Idlib in the end? Will there be this devastating last push that's been so feared?
Yeah, I mean, I hate to be pessimistic, but it's hard not to be. I mean, other times in Syria's history of the civil war where we've had local ceasefire agreements or other de-escalation zones, those have just not held. And it's hard to see how this one is going to hold given that history. And what I fear is, I mean, President Assad has said, of course, his goal is to recapture all of Syria. And Idlib is one of the primary provinces that stands in his way in doing that. And I'm not sure that Russia, even though they can discourage him from that goal, is actually capable of withholding him from pursuing that goal that he sees, of course, as key to his survivability.
The other element here that you've written about is the question of the role of chemical weapons. Reporting suggests the regime is again preparing to use chemical weapons. What do we know about that?
Well, we certainly know that they've used chemical weapons before. We've seen estimates from various sources, UN and US sources, that chemical weapons have been employed by the Assad regime upwards of 50 times throughout the conflict. And the U.S. has actually opted more recently under President Trump to respond to those attacks. We had a unilateral attack in 2017 in response to a Syrian chemical weapons attack. But there was another one in 2018. And then the U.S., joined by Great Britain and France in a coalition attack, actually launched a combination of missile and air attacks on a series of Syrian chemical weapons facilities. So the U.S. and coalition partners have made good on threats to retaliate for any use of Syria's chemical weapons in the past, and I suspect that will be the case this time around.
The U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has said, I think the quote was, Syria has been warned about not using chemical weapons. Given what you've just said about recent responses under the Trump administration to the use of chemical weapons in Syria, what might Mike Pompeo's threat mean in practicality if chemical weapons are used again?
Well, I mean, that'll be a major debate within the U.S. government. I mean, the key question, of course, will be, I think, not whether there will be a U.S. military response, because I think there will be a U.S. and I suspect a coalition response, too. The question will be kind of the extent. In the past, we've strictly limited those attacks to Syria's chemical weapons facilities. The key question will be, well, we've done that twice now. If that doesn't act as a sufficient deterrent, do we need to expand that target set potentially to include the Syrian forces themselves, if not President Bashar al-Assad and the command and control of his armed forces in the region. And that'll be a big debate. I mean, officially, the U.S. position is we're not pursuing a regime change strategy. But President Trump has called the Assad regime a criminal enterprise for employing chemical weapons before. So I can't be certain that the U.S. objective there won't necessarily change under the threatened use of serious chemical weapons.
So is there still a possibility, are you saying, that the United States might fulfill something more substantial around what President Trump has said, as you quote there, about President Assad?
I mean, I do one, I'm not in the government, but I do think, I mean, that is the trend line, right? I mean, up until very recently, up until September, as a matter of fact, I mean, the U.S. government and officials have been very clear that our objective in Syria was limited to the destruction of the Islamic State and terrorist forces. That battle is coming to a close. I mean, the ISIS caliphate in both Syria and Iraq has really collapsed. But there was an interview with a newly appointed envoy to the Department of State, a retired ambassador who served in both Baghdad and Ankara, Jim Jeffries. And he actually said, look, our objective now is not limited just to the destruction of ISIS, but it also includes the ousting of Iranian forces for the region. So you're starting to see a bit of mission creep in terms of what U.S. objectives are.
Chris Boland, a great pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much for your time.
Sure. Thank you very much.
Dr. Christopher Boland is Professor of National Security Affairs at the U.S. Army War College.